Turn in your Bible to John chapter 17. Okay, John chapter 17. We're moving. And tonight we're going to begin looking at this prayer of the Lord Jesus. But before we do, I want us to just give a little context. John gives us a context, really. So look at chapter 18, verse 1, and we'll kind of get an idea of the setting. John 18, verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, that is, the words in chapter 17, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. All right, so let's just talk a little bit geography here, just so we have an idea. If you're thinking Jerusalem, think north is up, typically how we will look at maps, and you think of Jerusalem here, the Temple Mount, kind of a central figure of Jerusalem, and the Temple Mount is here. Over here on the west side of Jerusalem is the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is somewhat higher than Jerusalem. So the Mount of Olives is over here, Jerusalem's over here. Between these two mounts, if you will, is called the Kidron Valley. And the Kidron Valley is a place spoken of often in the scriptures. It was a popular place of burial for the Jewish people. They surmise that the reason it is because the scriptures talk about Jesus coming back to the Mount of Olives, and people want to be the first ones to see him. So they want to be close to where he's coming. Kidron Valley was also a place that sometimes would be a garbage dump at different times. It's talked about in that way. It was a valley, and in the rainy season, when there would be a lot of snow melt or a lot of rain, it would have a stream running down through it, but most of the time that stream would be dry. So what we're having is we have Jesus, who's in the upper room in Jerusalem, and he and his disciples have now traveled outside of the city, and they are now traveling down into the Kidron Valley, and they're heading over to the Mount of Olives. On the side of the Mount of Olives was the Garden of Gethsemane. We know where we're headed in our story. I think most of us here have read ahead. We know this story. Garden of Gethsemane is where Jesus prays this intense prayer. This is where he is arrested, and he is then taken for trial. But he and his disciples from chapter 13 on, they have made this journey. And chapter 17 in this prayer has to have taken place somewhere on the western side. Yes, western side. I think I got some of my west and east wrong. Western side, didn't I, Harold? Yes, the Mount of Olives is on the eastern side of Jerusalem. They're walking on the western side of the Kidron Valley, and somewhere along the way, Jesus takes some time to pray. As John shares and records for us, this takes place after he takes the time to obviously share what he shared in chapter 16, after he shares this proverb, and the disciples, after Jesus very clearly in verse 28 of chapter 16 says, came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. And the disciples respond in verse 29 of chapter 16, lo, now you speak plainly, and now you're not speaking in proverbs anymore, or figures of speech. Now are we sure that you know all things and need not that any man should ask you. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. This being a very critical point, and I believe Jesus recognizing the fact that the disciples are finally at least testifying here on the same page with him in the fact, yes, we get it. You are from God. You have been sent from God. You are God's Son. You are God in human flesh. What you are saying is true. And so he's embracing that. And so Jesus then, in the end of chapter 16, and we're going to read this just by way to get our flow into the passage. Chapter 16, verse 31. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yes, is now come, that you shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am alone, I'm not alone, because the Father is with me." Notice what Jesus is doing is he's reminding them, you're going to be scattered. Things are going to be challenging. Things are going to be difficult for you. I am going to be left alone. Well, no, not truly I won't be left alone. I will have the Father with me. Verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And after having said such a powerful statement as, "I have overcome the world," you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. After having said this, Jesus lifts up his eyes to heaven, and he begins to pray. I want us just to think a little bit now about that scene. I want you to think about the attitude and the perspective of the disciples. Jesus is going away. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. Jesus sending the Holy Spirit. You're going to have difficulties and trials, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And obviously, their faith has been strengthened as a result of this conversation. And they have come to make some to affirm of what they believe of who Jesus is, one sent from God. And now Jesus lifts up his eyes to heaven and he prays. And these disciples are now privy, witness, to a personal conversation that Jesus has with his Father. Think about the ramifications of something like that. And our understanding of that's going to build as we see and discern how Jesus prays, who he prays for in this passage, and the privilege that these disciples get to have, that they have to hear Jesus praying, and he's praying for them. Let me just take a moment for application here tonight. Think about the last time you've had somebody pray for you in your presence. Think about the blessing that was to your heart. Do you take opportunity to pray for people and to pray for them in their presence? As a father, I have tried to purposefully pray for my children that they can hear me say their name and hear me pray specific things for them, because I know the power that there is in somebody going to God on my behalf, and how, if I can say this, how special it makes me feel to realize that someone else values my life and desires it to be blessed by God. I think Jesus here is continuing his ministry of comfort. And he is continuing that ministry through prayer. So listen, church, next time someone asks you to pray for them. Right there. Do it. Take time to pray for them. I had an opportunity just this weekend, a young man, his name was Micah on the team. He just began to share with me of what it looks like the Lord's leading him, and it looks like the Lord's leading him into pastoral ministry, and he was just kind of sharing the different struggles, and he's not sure exactly what to do, And he asked me to pray for him. And I asked him, you know, just a few questions just to kind of discern a little bit of where he was at. And I just took an opportunity to put my hand on his shoulder and to pray. And to pray for Micah. And to pray that God would direct him and guide him. And said amen. And I looked in his eyes, and his eyes spoke at all, but his voice said thank you so much. That meant a lot. It was a blessing. It's just a simple prayer, and there's nothing magical about that, but there's something powerful. And not only are we talking to the Almighty God, but we're communicating a love. We're expressing a love for one another. And that's what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is expressing and communicating a love for these men. He is comforting them as he prays for them. Are you praying for other people? Take opportunity to pray and pray for them in their presence. Pray for them by name. Put the hand on their shoulder. Take that time. It's a huge blessing. It's an opportunity. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. And it's something all of us can do. John 17 is a... Boy, it's a chapter. As I've studied it this week, I have started off in one direction, and then I've headed in another direction, and I've got probably three or four different possible outlines for the chapter. It's got a lot in it. What I would like to do tonight is kind of give you a brief overview and kind of whet your appetite a little bit for our study in this chapter. I'm going to give you a couple different things to observe and to study out this week, so that as we approach these different things, you'll be able to see them and better understand them. The first thing I'd like us to discern and see tonight is the request that Jesus makes. Okay, this is a prayer, and in this prayer, I believe Jesus makes three specific requests. Three specific requests. So what we're going to do is I want us to see those requests tonight. Chapter 17 and verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. That's the first request. Glorify thy Son. So here's Jesus, and he is looking up to the Father. And by the way, I didn't mention this, but think about, here's Jesus, God's Son, disciples finally beginning to see that, and his eyes are heavenward, and he begins to speak. Think about what's happening. God's Son speaking to the Father, and across here's humanity, perfect humanity, God in human flesh, speaking with God the Father. It's a powerful, powerful picture. Glorify your Son, was his request. And we see that spelled out in the first five verses as he explains exactly what that means in glorifying the Son. I want you to notice that in the first three verses, we see the language, we see the pronouns, that they're third person. You see that they're talking the Father, Son. You don't see it's you and me. It's Father, Son. And so verses 1 through 3 are almost like Jesus is creating this picture for us, creating this picture for the reader, for these disciples, of who is involved in this conversation. And the fact that they are getting to listen in. It's the Father and the Son. And he is using these third-person pronouns and the Father and Son to wrap us in and to realize these are the ones who are a part of this communication, this time of prayer. Verse 5, again, we see that same request emphasized or stated again. Verse 5, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." And so, what we see there is we see the first request is Jesus Christ asking the Father, glorify me, glorify your Son. We're going to talk about that more in the weeks to come, but I want us to just highlight and see these different requests. We have glorify thy Son. That's Jesus speaking about himself here. The second request comes in verse 11. In verse 11 we read, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world." And I believe he might have even pointed at his disciples as he was doing this. "And these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep," here's the second request, "keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one." So here he's prayed, glorify your Son, Father. In other words, glorify me. And we're going to talk about how important that is to the rest of the prayer and to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so glorify your Son. And the second request is now keep these. Guard them. Keep them through your own name, those that you have given me. And we're going to talk about in the weeks to come, we're going to talk about how that is significant in the fact that now Jesus is, in essence, turning over the guard. Why? Because he's no longer going to be here. And he is turning over the guard to his Father. And his prayer is, you keep them. Keep them. Guard them. A third request we see in verse 17. Sanctify them. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And you see that how that is an important part. Sanctify them, God. Remember, this is Jesus asking the Father these things. All right, we believe in the Trinity, right? We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And here we have God the Son speaking to God the Father, asking God the Father to do something. But they're all one. But what we're seeing played out here is the importance of the belief in the Trinity and how each one have a very important and significant role, but yet they are all one. That's emphasized here in the Scriptures. That word one is used several times. There's a unification. It's used as an example for us as the church and for these disciples that they may be unified. There's a oneness. And indeed, we are one in Christ. There's only one head of the church, folks. One, Jesus. And we're unified in him. Sanctify. What does sanctify mean? We're going to spell that more out in the context, but just generally, sanctify means to set apart. Set them apart. In other words, make them your own, God. Make them so that they will stand out for my glory. Set them apart. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What I'd like to do in closing, because we're about out of time, is I'm going to read the prayer. And I'd like you to follow along and take into account some of the things that we've talked about. I realize that we didn't dive in a lot of depth tonight. But I believe it is helpful to us to kind of gain a skeleton or something, a ladder, something to work with. as we study the Scriptures, and I encourage you as a student of the Scriptures to ask lots of questions and to develop these kinds of things and begin to look for different themes and look for different aspects of things that are repeated of the Scriptures and allow the Lord to guide and direct you. Just if you're wondering how I came to these different requests, these are all imperatives in the original language. And when you think of an imperative is a request. It's a command. It's something that's given with some power, some urgency. And these are the only imperatives in this prayer. And as I saw that, I began to look and pick out these imperatives, and it's very interesting what they are, where they appear in the context. And so I'm excited for us to kind of dig this out, to study and to see and to understand what all these mean. Oh God, glorify me, your Son. Oh God, keep them. Keep them. Oh God, sanctify them. So let's follow along as I read this prayer, remembering the Lord Jesus' eyes lifted up to heaven, and he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify you me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name unto the men which you have given me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever you have given me are of you. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me as thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovedst me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Boy, even just after reading it again, just a lot there. I trust you're able to pick some of those things up. If you have a chance to read through and just, again, glance at some of the things, some of the observations that I've given you tonight, I encourage you to do so. Lord, I thank you for our time in the Word. I thank you for this precious passage. And I want to thank you for praying for us. Yes, God, you prayed for those disciples, but God, we can't get away from the fact that you prayed for us. And God, I want to pray that we would take great comfort from these truths. And I pray that you would encourage your people tonight to take the comfort that they have been given and to pass it on to encourage others through their prayers. I thank you for your Son, for being glorified. I thank you for keeping. Thank you for sanctifying. Encourage your church this week, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.